Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, he said that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. He continued that charge to Timothy. And he told Timothy in chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, he told him, he said, you preach the word. You be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own ears shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. They shall turn away from the truth, and shall turn into fables. It's no wonder Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, the study showed us that's approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's my hope that when I speak, that I speak as the oracles of God in 1 Peter 4, verse 11. We appreciate the presence of each and every one of you tonight, and we welcome you back to any opportunity that you have to come and be a part of our services here at O'Neill. Tonight I want us to search through the Scriptures on what it means to becoming and remaining a faithful Christian. Questions are asked sometimes. Are you a Christian? Sometimes you might be asked, well, are you saved? Sometimes you might be asked, are you going to heaven? Sometimes you might even be asked, how do you know who is going to heaven anyways? These are questions that someone may ask you. Let's take a look tonight, and let's look at this at becoming a Christian and remaining a faithful Christian. Starting with the very first one about becoming a Christian. To answer that question, I have to first realize a few things about my spiritual condition. First, I need to ask myself, well, am I a sinner? So I need to ask myself, am I a sinner? Do I have sin in my life? We know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We also know that from Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2, that the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is His ear heavy that it cannot hear. He says, but your iniquities, your sins, my iniquities, what have they done? They separated us, haven't they? They separated between you and your God. It says, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. So we know that here we are as man, and here we are in this world, and we have the place that we want to go, and that place is heaven. We want to go and be with God. But sometimes that we sin. We fall short of that glory. For we know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. And we know when we sin, we know what the wages of that is. We know what we earn. For the wages of sin is death. That's what I earn. That's what you earn. That's what everybody earns, is we earn death. The things that we do, the things that we say that are contrary, that are sinful, we deserve death. But isn't it good that we know that in this spiritual condition that we also we're given something else. We've been given a gift. Each of us have been given a gift, and that gift is from God. And it's eternal life, and it's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So how do I get rid of this condition, this barrier that's between me and God? How do I get rid of that? It's through one person. It's through Jesus Christ. That's how I get rid of that. That's how I'm separated from God. But it's Jesus who will undo that for me. It's Jesus that we know Him. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5, when He says, there is one God, there's one mediator between God and man. And that's who? That's Christ Jesus. He is that mediator between us. We know that from John 14, verse 6, He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. You see, it's through Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the way to heaven. He is the way to God. I have to go through Him. Here I am, the sinner, but I want to go to God. I've got to go through Jesus Christ. It's through Him that I have that forgiveness of sin. It's through Him that I can reach. Jesus said in John 10, verse 9, He said, I am the door. He said, I'm the door. For by Me, if any man enter, he shall be saved. If you're going to enter through this door, you're going to be saved. Who is the door? It's Jesus. You have to enter through Him. He went ahead and said you could go in and go in and out, and you'd find pasture when He was talking there. But again, He says, what does He say? There's neither salvation in any other. In Acts 4, verse 12, there's salvation in nobody else. I don't care what anyone tells you. There is no salvation found in anyone else. There's only one name. There's only one name that we're saved by, and that's through Jesus Christ. So what do we need to do? He has spoken to us. We have the Bible. We can read. We can study. We have to hear the Word. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What do I know? I have faith. I can have faith. I can believe in Him because I have faith. I've heard the Word. It's so important that we listen and that we hear the Word of God. So what is it that I need to hear? What do I, as a sinner, as someone that's separated from God, what do I need to hear? I need to hear the truth. I need to hear the truth of Jesus. And we can read in John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. Jesus telling the Jews there that believed on Him, He said, if you continue in My Word, continue in what? He said, you continue in My Word. The Word had to be what He was saying. The words that was in His mouth. If you believe in those, you continue in those, He says, you are My disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. It's by whose words? It's by Jesus' words that we're set free. What is it that we need to hear? We need to hear about the words of eternal life. You see, Jesus here in John chapter 6, verse 68, there were some disciples there. They had went back. They had quit following after Jesus. He turns to the 12 and He says, will you go away also? Will you go away? And Peter says to Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou have the words of eternal life. It's Jesus who has the words of eternal life. That's what we need to hear. In Matthew chapter 10, Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, we need to hear the commands of Jesus. And what did He say there? He said, all power is given to Me in heaven and in earth. He says, you go, you teach, you baptize, you do what? You teach them to observe what? All the things that I have commanded you. What do we need to hear? We need to hear about the commands of Jesus. There He says, and talking about the gospel in Mark 16, 15 and 16, when he told them, you go into all the world. What's some of His commands? You go into the world and you preach what? You preach the gospel. You go into the world and you preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. So what are we hearing? We're hearing the truth of Jesus. We're hearing the words of eternal life. We're hearing the commands of Jesus. We're hearing the gospel of Jesus. So what do we need to hear about the gospel of Jesus? We need to hear about His birth. We need to hear about His life. We need to hear about His baptism. We need to hear about the ministry and the temptations that He went through, the miracles that He performed. We need to hear about the pain and anguish that He endured when He was crucified on the cross. That painful death that we just talked about in the little kids class. We need to hear about that. We need to know that death did not hold Him there, that He was resurrected, that He ascended into heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, here we have Paul, and as Paul's talking to the brethren, he says, I declare unto you the gospel. What's he declaring? What's he telling them? He's telling them the gospel. Well, Paul, what is the gospel? He continues there and he says, the gospel that I preached to you, I preached you to the gospel, you received it, and you're standing in it. That's what I want, that's what I'm preaching to you. And he says, and also, not only am I preaching, you're standing in it. Saved by the gospel. You're saved, he said, you're saved by the gospel if you keep the memory of what I've preached to you unless you have believed in vain. You keep it in your memory, this gospel that I've preached to you. He says, for I deliver to you first of all, well, what first of all did you preach in this gospel? He says that, goes on there, he says, first of all that I received to you how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. What's part of the gospel? That Christ died. Not only did He die, that He was buried. And that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Why do we need to hear the gospel? Why does anyone need to hear the gospel? Well, we know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, and He said, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord shall be revealed with the heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that do what? Taking vengeance on people that don't know God and those that don't obey the gospel. So you mean to tell me, if I'm not participating in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, He says, well, what did He say? He's going to come and take vengeance on those that don't know Him and that don't obey the gospel. Now, as individuals, we hear the Word and we're taught the gospel, but we have a decision to make, don't we? We have a decision to obey the gospel or we have a decision to not obey the gospel. We have that choice. He says in John 8, verse 24, if you believe that I'm not He, you're going to die in your sins. We know what did we just say about sins? The wages of sin is death. So what is he saying? If you don't believe that, you're going to die in your sins. He says in John 3:16 and 17, the kids can say this one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? They're going to have everlasting life. But when we continue on in verse 17, listen to what he says. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him, they might be what? They might be saved. It's through Jesus Christ that we're saved. In Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please Him. It's impossible to believe Him, but for he that cometh to God, you must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Not only do I have to believe, I've got to be diligently seeking after Jesus Christ. I've got to be diligently seeking after Him. Do you believe that? Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe in Him? Do you believe that He is the Son of God? In Acts chapter 10, verse 43, to Him gives all prophets witness in His name. Whosoever believes in Him shall have what? They will have remission of sins. Those that believe in Him will have remission of sins. So what do we need to do with those sins? If we're walking in the sinful way, we need to repent. Because what did He say in Luke chapter 13, verse 3? Unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. If you don't repent of those sins, you're going to perish. You're not going to have a home with Him. What did He come to do? He came to not to call the righteous. He came to call the sinners to repentance in Luke chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, He told them to repent and to believe the gospel. In Acts 2, 38, Peter said unto them, He said, you repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? For the remission of sins. We just said a while ago in Acts chapter 10, He said, if you believe, you have forgiveness of sins. Now He's saying, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You have to believe. You have to repent. You have to be baptized in order to have the forgiveness of sins. He says in Acts chapter 3, verse 19, repent ye therefore and be converted. Repent from that way and be converted. What's going to happen when I'm converted? That your sins may be blotted out. Well, how are they going to be blotted out? Well, we just said in Acts 2:38, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. You want those sins remitted? Then you need to be baptized. Acts 17, verse 30, He commanded all men everywhere to do what? He commands us to repent. We talked about the command, the things that we needed to hear were the commands of Jesus. He commands us to repent. He commands us to change from our ways. He also tells us that we need to confess. Confess our faith in Jesus as the Son of God. In Romans 10, verse 9, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and you believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Just like Wesley did. Brother Guy mentioned that this morning in his lesson. When he asked him, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And he said, yes, I do. That's what we're confessing. We're confessing, just like the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, verse 37, when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He made that confession. He told them, this is what I believe. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, the Word of God, it doesn't come back void. Not at all. In Acts and throughout the New Testament, you're going to find several different conversions. In all of them, Jesus is preached. With the Ethiopian eunuch, Philip opened up the Word. He preached unto him what? Jesus. Many accounts on that. What are they going to be doing? They're preaching Jesus. That's what we have to do. We have to preach Jesus Christ. When the good news, when the gospel of Jesus, when it's preached, people are going to be converted. We just talked about Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. 3,000 souls were added that day. Could you imagine what that would look like? 3,000 individuals who were converted, who became a Christian on one day. Simon, Saul, Ethiopian eunuch, Cornelius and his household, other Gentiles, many others that we can read about in the book of Acts, who were baptized for the remission of their sins. We can look in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21. Some people say, you know, well, baptism is not necessary. Well, what does he say in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 21? Here he's talking, he says that Christ also, he suffered once, the just for the unjust. The just Christ, he suffered for the unjust us, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. But he says that he went and he preached unto the spirits in the prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when the once long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, when God was preparing, and he was wherein are a few. He says, eight souls are saved by water. The light figure, whereunto even baptism does also now do what? Saves us. Because why? We are obeying His command. We are obeying the command of Jesus Christ. We talk about being baptized. And it's wonderful for individuals to become a Christian. And the majority of people in here, we've already been baptized. But we also, after we're becoming a Christian, we need to live a faithful life. We know in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, be thou faithful unto death all the way to the end, and I will give you a crown of life. We have to walk that path that is straight and narrow. Is it easy to walk that straight and narrow path? It's not sometimes. But that's what we're commanded to do, to walk that straight and that narrow path. And just what the kids said in the memory verses a few moments ago in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. You be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're going to be steadfast. We're going to be unmovable. We're going to be always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as we know that our labor is not in vain in the Lord. We're going to keep working. We know that from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, he says, know ye not that they which run a race run all, and that one receives the prize, he says, so you run that you may obtain. As we're on this straight and narrow path, why are we on this path? Because we want to obtain that promise that Jesus has given to us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, you can see, and visualize in your mind all of the heroes of faith. When he says there, he says, we're seeing that we're compassed by so great a cloud of witnesses. We're going to lay aside that weight and that sin that does so easily beset us. We're going to run with patience. We're going to run with patience the race that's set before us. We're running this race. We're on this straight and narrow path. Looking to whom? To Jesus, who is the author and who is the finisher of our faith. We're running. We're looking to who? We're looking to Jesus. He died for us, and we're looking to Him because we know He is the one that will save us. Looking to Him, that who for a joy was set before Him, He endured the cross. He despised the shame, and He sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. We're looking to Him as we run that race. We're looking to Him as we strive to remain faithful in our lives. Philippians 3, verses 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I'm pressing on toward that prize. I'm pressing on because I'm looking to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of my faith. We're living that faithful life. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 35 and 36, cast not away therefore your confidence, which has a great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. If we've done the will of God, we're going to receive that promise. We want to live faithful. We want to walk that straight and narrow path. But sometimes, don't we fall, don't we? We fall off that straight and narrow path, but we still have to look to Jesus. Think about here, as we finish that verse on looking to Jesus, who's the author and finisher of our faith, look at verse 3. When he says, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and you faint in your minds. That's what happens when we become weary. That's what happens when we faint in our minds. That's what happens when we're not looking to the author and we're not looking to the finisher of our faith. So why do we do that? Why do we fall? We get discouraged. We get discouraged. Some brethren become discouraged. Brad was leading us in that song, what a friend we have in Jesus. Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Do you get discouraged? Do you talk to God about it? Does your family discourage you? Do your friends discourage you? Things in life bring you down? Do we leave Jesus because of that? Sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. Hebrews 3, verse 14, "For we are made partakers of Christ. We're partakers of Him if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." That's how we remain. That's how we don't get discouraged. We have to keep our confidence in Jesus Christ. Some brethren are going to fail because they fail to grow spiritually. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7. We're to exercise ourselves rather to what? Exercise ourselves to godliness. Some brethren are going to be too involved in the cares of the world. And we know what happens with the cares of the world. In Matthew chapter 13, verse 22. Those cares of the world, they choke us. They choke out. They choke out the Word. We're deceived by riches sometimes, and that causes us to fall. And the love of money is the root of all evil. While some covet after, what do? You coveting after those things, you're going to err from the faith. Because is your focus, are you looking to the author and the finisher, or are you looking to something here on this earth? Because if we don't look to Him, the author and the finisher, we're going to fall. We're going to err from the faith. Some brethren, they fall because they just quit caring. They lose that care. I can guarantee you that Jesus never stopped caring for us. Some people fall because of the lust of other things. Just as the cares of the world, just as the cares of riches, the lust of other things are going to choke the Word, and they're going to cause us to become unfruitful. If you have a tree or if you have a bush, you have something that's not producing, what are you going to do with it? You're going to cut it down. That's exactly what's going to happen with us. Some brethren have too much pride. Some brethren have envy of the wicked. Some brethren feel that they've been wronged in some way. Some brethren feel that they become neglectful. How can we escape? How can we escape if we neglect so great salvation? That salvation that He has promised to us. Sometimes, though, we fall. Sometimes we sin. And when we sin, what does He tell us? He says, "My little children, these things I write unto you." He doesn't want us to sin. But if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. The one who's the author and the finisher is the one that's why we have forgiveness of sins. That's why it's our duty to confess our sins, our faults to one to another, and pray for one another that we may be healed. That's why in 1 John verses 1, chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's what we have to do. We have to make those confessions. So who is going to heaven? Jesus said, "Not everyone that says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." Not everybody's going to be there. But who is? The one, He says, that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Tonight I want to ask you, are you doing the will of the Father that is in heaven? Are you a Christian? Are you saved? Do you have sin? It's time to get rid of those sins. In 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10, "Wherefore the rather, brethren," He says, "you give diligence to make your calling and your election sure." You make diligence to give your calling and election sure. If you're not a Christian, become one tonight. If you have sins, confess those while together we stand and while we